You're listening to DraftKings Network.
On this episode of the Cooligans, in the first segment, we're going to talk about the Premier League. Arsenal may finish fourth again, which is the trophy we always want anyway, so I don't care what Tottenham is doing, and I don't care what Leicester's doing. Can Leicester win? Jamie Vardy's going to be out for a little bit. Why? We talk about it. Is it going to affect what's happening? I'm not sure. Tottenham, I think they're going to get relegated, right, guys? Please say yes.
On the second segment, we talk about NYCFC. We got to meet Paddy Vieira. We got to meet Tommy Mack. We got to touch them, talk to them. It was unbelievable. Also, Jermaine Jones is back scoring goals, attacking Mark Geiger. Also, a lot of Mark Geiger talk. He's an interesting referee in the MLS. Jordan Moore scores his first goal. Orlando, they have a controversial handball that happened outside the box. It might have been in midfield. I don't know what the ref was thinking.
Segment number three is Kirby's Corner is back. I'm back, baby. We talk about Barcelona and how they just kind of suck right now. We talk about Aston Villa getting relegated, but we get the Birmingham and Derby back, and it's going to be great. We talk about sextortion. We talk about AFC Wimbledon's story becoming a sappy teen romance.
We talk about all this on the Cooligans!
Hi, this is Kyrie Shelton from New York City FC, and you're listening to the Cooligans.
Hi, I'm RJ Allen for New York City Football Club, and you're listening to the Cooligans.
This is Ian Joy, and you're listening to the Cooligans.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Cooligans.
It's the Cooligans. Hey, real quick, before we get into it, I would love if you guys would follow us on Instagram and on Twitter at Soccer Cooligans.
Yeah.
We got a bunch of really cool stuff that's going to start happening. Follow us, get involved, go to our website, put in your email and that little pop-up that pops up, and you will be made aware of and abreast of everything.
And you did that whole thing just so you can use the word abreast.
Yeah, I did.
Welcome, everybody. This is another exciting. Oh my god!
I mean, at this point, and here's the thing. You want to talk about Premier League. I don't want to talk.
That's all I want to talk about.
That's it. I mean,
well, before we get started, how are you doing, Alexis?
I am fine. I am off. I've walked away from the edge of the cliff a little bit as an Arsenal fan. I think if it's one thing that I hate, it's just someone who's like, floundering, not trying, not caring. And that seems like where we are right now.
This is why you dislike me so much.
This is it. You are way too relaxed for me.
Yeah, not decisive enough.
Sometimes I'll come up with an idea and I'll tell you, and you go, okay, do it. And I'm like, that's not at all what I was looking for. I'm thinking, I want it's terrible or it's great. Let's do it. No, okay.
Yeah.
I get very frustrated with your lack of extreme emotions.
Yeah, you hate my reasonable blood pressure.
Yeah, I can't get with it. I don't know how you were raised in this city. But I will say it is nice to have someone like you along for the ride, even if you send me into even further anger.
Yeah, yeah. I have
most of the time.
I have rural temperament,
You absolutely do.
A Brooklyn boy with rural temperament.
You are one of these guys that's like, we'll figure it out when the sun comes up, And I'm just like, do it right now.
I got that Jibaro mentality. Yeah. you know what a Jibaro is, Kirby? Jibaro just like a hick, like a country guy.
So me.
Yeah, so I'm so you, yeah, exactly.
Gaucho, if you will.
but yeah, it was look, this is the last few weeks of the Premier League, and it's exciting. There's no more international breaks.
It's kind of like all coming to a head now.
Oh my god, this is an exciting time.
And I will say, people continue to shit on Premier League for saying like, oh, there's no. Sometimes it's resolved. Like Chelsea ran away with it. They were doing the ceremony in December. This is it. This is why you watch. This reminds me of when Manchester City won in the last second. This is it.
Incredible. Yeah, it's one of my favorite moments in soccer. Just, I love hearing the call and everything. It's great to watch.
It's just, the passion on a regular moment, but when it's coming to this moment right now where everything seems to be colliding, the only thing that I would change is that it seems to be colliding into a worst case scenario for Arsenal fans.
Yeah, well, they've been showing like the percentages, like the likelihood that Arsenal. Can win
what,
the league.
Fans commit suicide? Suicide? We're not winning.
They're at about 0.1% likelihood.
Yeah, so that's even.
So the bookies are not really on their side.
Right. Now's the time to gamble. I couldn't put my arms around what's been happening. And if you're a Leicester City fan,
Wow.
Wow.
Things, yeah, you're not as confident as you were a couple weeks ago.
Wow. How little, and this is the thing about soccer, man, how little things change everything.
Yeah, so going into the week, Leicester was 7 points up. They were playing against West Ham. They looked like West Ham, not an easy team to get through.
Yeah.
So you didn't know what the result was, but you didn't expect Leicester to lose. And
no, not in that fashion.
They didn't lose. They drew.
They drew, sure. But they dropped points, which is more important than anything else.
Yeah. And incredible game. Just to the final, a last-minute penalty.
Did you notice that it was starting to get a little boring? And then all of a sudden, we're right back up. Yeah. You know what I mean? The meter jumped back up.
I mean, but there's just, you have to give them some credit. There's something about Leicester, they just refuse to lose. It's unbelievable. Even just the fact that they got a point out of that game was surreal, because it didn't, especially when they were down to 10 men, and we'll get to that in a moment.
Yeah.
And
it's someone like Ayoa, who you're Ayoa's coming into the mat. You're not fearful.
Yeah, yeah.
That doesn't send shivers down your spine. You know, and here he comes, and it's funny, we talk about, Arsenal fans talk about the invincible season because it's all we have. really, two FA Cups and no one still gives a damn. But we talk about the invincible season. One of the things that reminds me so much of this team, that reminds me of the Invincibles, Leicester, is how even when they're down to 10 men, Arsenal almost played better with 10 men, or still played at their same level when they were down to 10 men in that season. And it's not so much the sense of never give up and all those things that I think Leicester personifies. It's that all right, you got one hit on me, but I'm still going to beat you. You know, we'll find a way. We'll gut it out. Dude, that's exactly what they did. And You know what? If the way that Vardy got that red card, if that would have happened to any other team, it would have killed their confidence. Nothing is shaking this team.
Yeah.
Nothing. They're we'll figure it out. And the fans, too. The fans stayed in it. The few that were there. I mean, they were, it's amazing. It's amazing to watch. It's amazing to be a part of. What, you have music on?
Oh, crap. Sorry.
Yeah, I thought you were playing romantic music for this.
I was filling up the score from the box score so I could see the stats, and ESPN just played some video from
I was what the hell's going on over there? I thought you were making fun of me.
I did not press play, yeah, I promise. I thought
you were making fun of me or something. But I mean, that team, even in those last few moments, I'm I think they still got this.
Yeah, there's it's starting to feel like destiny. Destined to win this title. Right. But Tottenham does not. They're refusing.
Come on, Stoke.
Come on. Yeah, what? Stoke? Come on. You can do better than that.
Come on.
You know, Shaqiri should do that chip he did over Howard, you know?
All the time, just 24/7. Chippy nonstop. Come on.
Tottenham. I mean, they're really...
I don't know what to say.
They're really closing out this season strong.
They're finishing above us, obviously. It would take some catastrophic failure on their end.
Yeah, that's going to happen. It's starting to get to the point where, are you worried that Arsenal may not even make it to the Champions League next season?
I don't think I've thought of that until this moment.
They're in fourth.
And I almost wanted to punch you for saying that, but you're right.
I did want to punch you, but I'm across the room.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. And there's nothing. I can't imagine a world where Tottenham is not only finished above us, but they're in the Champions League and we're not. I can't imagine that world.
Yeah.
And if Liverpool win the Europa Cup, they get an automatic bid into the Champions League next year. If they don't finish in the top four, we get bumped out if we're in fourth.
Well, is that how it is? Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay.
We get bumped out if we're in fourth, I think.
You get bumped out if the...
There's no fifth place. No, fifth place automatically goes to Europa. I think we get bumped out because I think Tottenham 2 years ago or 3 years ago finished in the fourth place, and they got bumped out because Chelsea won, and Chelsea was in sixth or seventh.
And Chelsea won Europa.
No, Chelsea won the Champions League.
Oh, so they get an automatic bid. Yeah, that's right. So if a Premier League team wins a Champions League, fourth gets bumped because they are...
If they're not in the top four, they're automatic, and they can only get four places. So it would be the top three and the team that won. And I think Liverpool Can you confirm that? If Liverpool wins, fourth place doesn't go into the Champions League. Oh, my God. I mean, you know, I don't know if you know this. Okay, so you're an Everton fan, right? So they'll say Merseyside is blue if Everton finishes above Liverpool.
Okay,
right?
Yeah.
Obviously not going to happen this season. So Merseyside, Liverpool stays red, right? This will be the first time that North London is white or blue, whatever it is that they want to claim. Probably blue, right? Because North London's been red since I've been a child. Except it won't be blue because it'll be red from all of the blood of the Arsenal fans spilling. I can't. This world doesn't seem real to me. Leicester winning. This will go down in history as one of the weirdest flop of a season. And you know, people are talking about how a lot of the soccer people across Europe are very fearful now that this new TV contract is kicking in this season. One of the things they said that they think the Premier League. First of all, the Premier League is more of a successful TV brand than the Champions League. It's more popular than the Champions League.
Okay.
Which is huge. I mean, this is
the
best clubs in the world, and people would rather watch the Premier League. Perfect time, Saturday morning. Perfect time to play it. But here's the other thing. They said that it's going to be the NBA of football. It's the NBA of soccer, where this is the only league people are going to want to play in. It's the only league people are really going to pay attention to.
Okay.
What an odd way to go out and start this new era of Premier League, domination. Besides having Leicester win the season or win in Tottenham in the Champions League and Manchester United, possibly not, Arsenal, possibly not, City, possibly not, Chelsea, definitely not, Liverpool, maybe if they win. What an odd.
Sure. It's just like it's opposite season.
It's the Benjamin Button season, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's exciting for me because I've never paid it. You know, we've talked about
this. This is all new for you.
This is all new for me. This is the first time I really paid attention to the Premier League.
I think we figured it out. You ruined it. You ruined the Premier League.
And now it's like as, unpredictable as like the MLS, you know? There's all this, all of a sudden there's this parody in the Premier League.
Welcome to parody, baby. This is what it's like. You're in the final, you're in the MLS Cup final last season, this season. You can only win against NYCFC.
And Tottenham was, at the beginning of the season, not really a team that looked like much of a threat. I mean, they were good. They weren't giving up many goals. They weren't dropping a lot of points.
They weren't losing. They were just drawing. There were
so many draws. Yeah. So you didn't really expect too much. But this last month, man, they figured something out. Harry Kane is unbelievable. Dele Alli, outside of that.
Out of nowhere.
I mean, he's 19. He just seems to be in the right place. Amazing strikes. He's just always knows exactly where to be.
Yeah, his ball will find the frame. It may not go in, but it will force the keeper to make a judgment. The exact opposite of every shot Arsenal has taken in the past like 6 weeks. But man, the fact that he's 19 is again, they've got them, and if they can keep him and Harry Kane.
I mean, and look at both of them, especially they're going to be the next stars of England. They're going to take over England. I mean, I could see, maybe someone like Harry Kane being like the next captain to some degree,
If I see kids in the U.S. wearing Tottenham kids, that's going to break my heart.
It's impressive.
It's possible, isn't it? They could be the new Manchester United.
That the goal, the first goal that Harry Kane scored against Stoke last at the game. What was it? Yesterday? 2 days ago?
Yeah.
That's the goal. That's like this dude wants it.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, and there was nothing. There's no one on the planet besides. Manute Bol holding on to Peter Crouch, his ankles. That's the only person who could have stopped that shot.
I mean, there were like four defenders.
And it curled,
and it curled around everybody.
He shot it like he was shotting it perpendicular to the way that he...
It was one of those, like, the magic bullet theory for,
What was that crabby movie where they curled the bullet? They curved the bullet? Remember Angelina Jolie was in it?
Oh, yeah. Was that the one with Brad Pitt?
No, Brad Pitt wasn't it. Mr. Smith.
But I know what you're talking about.
It was like they were like assassins or something. The breakdown.
Yeah, and she would like swing the gun, and it was like swing, which is impossible.
Wanted. Yeah, that's right. The bullet would curve around the person. It's so stupid.
But that's what Harry Kane is doing.
That's what Harry Kane is doing. I bet you he could do that, actually. You know, let's remake the film. We'll have
cast Harry Kane, yeah.
Boring ass Harry Kane in it. Oh, God. I can't even talk about this. I'm supposed to be unbiased and impartial and make this a fun podcast for all. And I can't because I'm watching. It's like, if you're a journalist and you're watching the Titanic go down, you want to jump in and say it, but you can't. You got to sit back and write about it. It's like something like that.
Wow, what an analogy. Just like,
this is exactly what it is. It's going down slow.
Watching people just suffer and die.
Well, I mean, you know.
That's what Arsenal's the Titanic at the moment.
Dude. Right now it is.
Well, are they the
What's the iceberg, though? Is it Arsene Wenger's inability to make any adaptation?
Well, I mean, there's he's clearly making changes.
What changes?
It will be.
What changes?
It will be.
What, letting a kid play because no one else wants to? Putting Alexis Sanchez in a more natural position? What are the changes he's making?
I don't know. I just changes I, he all I had, have made. All I had was a will be. That's all I had.
That's all anyone has. Well, I mean,
yeah, where's Giroud? What's he up to?
Not scoring. Well, I mean, probably off the pitch a lot.
But,
walking around tanning himself.
Manchester City also, ever since De Bruyne came back.
Oh, they look great.
They're looking good, man.
Yeah. Anyone else? Anyone else want to make us look bad?
So, look, it's exciting because the top four or the top three really are really, you know, there's a lot of drama. But, you know, fifth place, who's going to make it to Europa? Because West Ham or Manchester United, there's a lot going on in the top six.
Oh my, it's jammed. This is really exciting though, and I will say, if you are like
what, four games left,
yeah, right, four or five, Kirby, what do we got there?
I think it's four. But also,
if you're a fan like of soccer the way, you know, Polanco was last season, you know, not really following a specific club, or maybe you have no actual Premier League club, this is the season. Yeah, four or five, depending. Some people have games in hands. Mm-hmm. This is the season to watch, man. I mean, this has to be making new fans, yeah, right? I mean, you would imagine this is the season that's drawing people in.
And this stretch, this next couple games, there's so much at stake. But really, what's the huge news that's really going to affect, you know, whether Leicester even stays on top? Vardy got that red card, so he's going to definitely
suspended for the next match.
He's suspended for the next match, but he also got in trouble for what he said to the referee. So apparently it was he got charged for improper conduct from the FA.
Right.
So he's probably going to miss another match right after that. So, and I think that's against Manchester United.
You know what? I mean, I'm assuming they can appeal and maybe move it to the beginning of next season.
Is that possible?
That stuff's happened in the past. I can't remember exactly who,
mm-hmm.
but they've, you know, they don't want to affect the end of the season this way.
Yeah.
You
know? I mean, of any player,
Don Garber would do it.
Of any player in the league, I mean, losing Vardy is, I think, you know, losing that caliber of a player will directly affect results.
Does it? Because they're just going to defend.
I don't know.
I mean, losing Conte, I think, is more important to their...
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Vardy hasn't missed a Premier League match, though.
No, he hasn't. I don't know. I don't think Vardy is...
You don't think it's that big a deal if he misses two matches?
What? All right, two matches is a big deal because it's half the rest of the season.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's going to deteriorize their team. But if they need to make up points, that's bad. But right now they're in a winning position. All they have to do is not drop points.
They're 5 points ahead.
I'm not sure if we talked about this. Now that it's like becoming clear that this will most likely happen, do you think it's good for the league to have Leicester City win?
I think it's great.
Really?
Yeah. I think it's great. I think the only...
I mean, there's a lot of positive buzz around it. I mean, Reese Waters, ESPN sent someone out there to talk about it. They weren't sending anyone to talk about Manchester City.
Exactly. If it was just one of the... You know, especially Americans, they love underdog stories. And if it was just another one of the big clubs, and we would continue with the same narrative of like, well, they got all the money, so they're supposed to do this. But this is changing everything. And this is really making every manager reflect on themselves.
Yeah.
You know, the managers that are like, that they go to the owners and they're like, look what they're doing. We need more money. You know, we need better players.
Roberto Martinez, you're saying.
Yeah, specifically him.
Yeah.
But the now the owners are going to be like, well, but what about Leicester?
£22 million for an entire team. And you want 17?
Yeah.
You know, for a backup striker?
I have that kind of change in the bottom of my pocket somewhere.
Are you kidding me?
And they're able to field a winning club.
They're like, homie, shake my couch. You get yourself £22 million?
So this is they're going to make a movie about this. This is going to be one of the things that changes soccer globally, because this is such a huge story.
Absolutely. And once again, I will say, if they were to somehow lose and Tottenham loses and Arsenal comes back and wins, still a good movie if you're Leicester City. You're in the Champions League.
It's like Rocky 1, you know? Like he loses.
You don't have to win everything.
Maybe, you know, there's the next one. Next movie. Don't worry about it.
Could you imagine Leicester City 2? Oh, what a movie.
Yeah.
You know, you got a bit more money. How do you deal with it?
Exactly. Bigger budget.
You're still an underdog because you didn't actually win. You don't want to win everything. You're ruining the movie, Leicester.
Yeah, you want to still be like the lovable loser.
Yeah.
This is maybe we'll play this in the break, but I had put this up. I had retweeted it from Mike Sands on Twitter. His name is Mike Sands 19, a big Arsenal fan. An Arsenal Fan TV clip that he had posted. Did you see this? The guy was like, "What are you doing about Arsene Wenger?" He's like, "What are you doing, blood? What are you doing, blood?" Like,
no, this is unbelievable. I stopped watching a lot of these things because I'm getting
it made me so happy. Only not because not to see. I don't really care about seeing Arsenal fans frustrated. I see it every week.
Just seeing a yardie.
I see it across from me every week. So it doesn't give me any pleasure anymore. But this guy was the real frustration of like that Wenger out.
Is this the shorter dude? He's wearing like the scarf.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's great.
I didn't watch the video because I'm like, I can't do it. Someone posted a compilation of like, there's a fat guy with white hair who was like, did a rap song called Top of the League in front of the Emirates. And he was like, top of the league. We're top of the league. Say what? It's like terrible. He's a white dude though.
Are you saying white people cannot rap well?
I'm not saying they cannot. I'm saying I'm expecting it to be bad. Especially white British guys. I mean, their black British guys aren't even that good at it. It's like top of the league, top of the league. And everyone's like dancing around him. And then they cut to him being on Arsenal TV. And he's like, we're shit. And he's just, the same guy is just yelling. And I'm like, that's too good. That's just too good.
I think LMFAO should do a remix of that.
Better rappers than they have in England.
Oh my goodness.
By the way, I love grime. I want everyone to know I do like grime.
All right.
I think Young and Chip love it.
I haven't heard it yet. You keep telling me about it.
Young and Chip, man, they're great. And, you know, Stormzy, I'm not a huge Stormzy guy, but, you know, they're pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah. Some of them are very good. Youngin's got bars, though. Bars.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So grime got, I'm sure we should get some ad money for grime.
If you guys don't know what grime is, a grime producer did the beat for Panda. So if you like the beat for Panda, which by the way, everyone loves the beat for Panda.
Exactly.
That's grime music. So come aboard.
All right. Panda. We'll get to the second segment. We'll talk some MLS. And there's a special message in the next break that you're going to hear about a little contest we have going.
Oh, yeah. You guys want to win some stuff?
Yeah, they like stuff.
Listen in. What's up, Cooligans? We just want to break in real quick to tell you that we're doing another giveaway.
Oh, it's going to be pretty exciting. In honor of the Copa America Centenario.
Centenario. Coming here to the U.S.?
Yeah, in the U.S., and I know some of you are going to the games. We're doing a giveaway of one of the USA scarves. You can have a brand new USA scarf.
Absolutely, and they're made by Roughneck Scarves. Check them out at roughneckscarves.com. They are super comfortable. I know a lot of you guys probably have Roughneck Scarves because they make scarves for a lot of different groups and supporters clubs and different soccer clubs.
Custom scarves, they're great.
Oh my God, they're absolutely incredible. We have on right now our USA ones. Kirby's got one over there. They're all really comfortable, and we want to give one to you.
Yeah, so listen to our next break. After this segment, listen to that break, and you will find out how you can win yourself a USA scarf from Roughneck Scarves.
First step is to keep listening. Keep listening, and you will find out how you can win a Roughneck Scarf with the USA, brand new USA badge just for you.
Keep listening.
We talked a little bit about Europe. Let's talk a little bit about our homeland.
America.
America.
Oh, my God.
Regardless of who wins, we always win. America.
I mean, obviously, America, the home to the greatest soccer league in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, we do
the
everything.
Chinese Super League. No.
we do everything better than everybody else. You know, it's just we reap the benefits of other people's labor. yeah, everything's made everywhere else, and we just ship it here.
Yeah, baby. and we use it up and throw it out. And then it sends it in their water and contaminates the people who made it for us.
Exactly. Oh, my goodness. Just a sea of Chivas USA players. we're done with them.
Done. Well, we kept one, Tommy Mac.
So yeah, NYCFC. Let's talk about NYCFC first. We're big fans of the club. What a lovely day. It was a NYCFC filled day for us yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday was nothing but NYCFC. It was awesome. It was a sea of NYCFC.
Exactly. It was NYCF SEA.
Yeah. This has done nothing but annoy Kirby.
Yeah, well, there was a Q&A.
Yeah, they do something called City in the Boroughs. Obviously, New York City split up into five boroughs, so I guess they're doing these in one in each borough.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to go to all of them, I think. We're going to
sure we get questions, questions. We're going to do it in the accent of every borough.
Which, let's just say, I'm only confused by Manhattan. The rest of them I can get.
Exactly.
Easily.
Staten Island. Hey, yo.
Hey.
Hey, Patty, what are you doing with?
Get your foot off my court, Patty. It's just going to be like that. We're doing it on a patio, on a back patio of some guy's
Let's do
yard.
All of them. Okay, so we did Brooklyn. We know the Brooklyn.
Yeah, the Brooklyn accent. We forgot about it.
Yeah, and the Bronx.
Bronx is like, hey, yo, oh, you poppy.
Or, yo, fam.
Yo.
Yo, fam.
OD.
Yo, Tommy. Yeah. Like, for real? Like, yeah. your hair's getting in my mouth. Like, take it easy, dude. Yeah. Like, it's too much.
Stop
cut it.
Spinning your head mad fast. Mad fast, Tommy Mac.
Oh, my goodness. Queens. What is Queens?
Queens. Can anyone do a Greek guy taking a food order? Can anyone do that accent for us?
Oh, my goodness.
Manhattan would just be like, yes, hello, Patrick Vieira.
Yeah.
I'll have a spritzer. Oh, you're not here to take my drink order? I'm sorry.
I thought you were the help. So forgive me.
You look just like the other one. That's the Manhattan brush.
Yeah, typical Manhattanites. We've seen them all.
Upper East Side. If you haven't, you haven't been invited.
Man, but yeah, so we got to go to a Q&A. We got to talk to Patrick Vieira. We got to talk to Tommy Mac.
Let's be honest. Can we be honest? Patrick Vieira got to talk to us. I mean,
we're the
Cooligans.
Yeah, forgive me.
Yeah, and special thanks to Mike Fratto, who does the in stadium announcements. He was super cool. You know, introduced us to a bunch of the people, and it was awesome.
He was. I was telling Kirby, I was like, it was so interesting hearing his voice not amplified. You know,
but he still kind of did.
He sounds like an amp, but he somewhat. You know, you see this with announcers when you see them like do interviews and stuff.
Yeah,
it's like. Yeah, you sound like an announcer. Like, no matter you were what born doing. To do this. Yeah.
I'll have a number two. Supersize.
Exactly. Like, all right.
It's kind of how his cadence is like.
Exactly.
Stadium announcer guy.
It's like he could be like a 12-year-old. Like, why are you so poised? So confident already.
I mean, I know you're telling me a story about a dolphin that can fly, but I believe it. I believe it right now.
Yeah. So it was such a cool event. And then you also went to...
We got tickets to go see the Wind movie, which is the NYCFC movie, part of the Tribeca Film Festival.
Yeah.
And so our current president, John Patrickoff, used to run the Tribeca Film Festival. Right?
Oh, wow. What a promotion. Climbing up that ladder.
Right.
That's a
now
big
you're
jump.
In a professional football club. Yeah. Welcome. Yeah. So I sat next to someone who works for the club, and I leaned over and I said, Patrickov got this movie in here, right? Because it's a movie about a soccer team.
Yeah, yeah. This, yeah,
the Tribeca Film Festival.
That's not not the normal, you know,
yeah,
kind
this
of
isn't the
films
typical
that make,
film, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's usually indie stuff.
Yeah,
it's just shot really
There's
weird.
There's one about Scientology that was playing in the same theater.
Yeah, yeah. That was the Robert De Niro one.
Yeah, that's the Robert. No, Robert De Niro was the anti-vaccine one.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And
that's
that
right.
they actually removed. They removed it from the festival.
That's right.
But I was like, I leaned over and I was like, come on. Come on, son.
Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously, I mean, we know how this movie got in here. It's a bunch of people wearing NYCFC jerseys. They're clapping during videos of the goals. It's like, this isn't a Tribeca Film Festival. Okay. Come on.
Yeah. That is, yeah.
The only thing missing was like the smoke bomb. I thought we were going to release a red flare and just get it all going in there. You know,
that would have been incredible.
The Templados are banging on the drum. Like, we can't hear the movie, to be completely honest with you. We love your passion, but we cannot hear the movie. Directed by an Argentinian guy, by the way. They did a little Q&A.
Yeah, Leo Messi, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Leo Messi was there.
Yeah, yeah, it was cool. So,
by the way, can do anything he wants. So
it was cool. Yeah, we got it was we were been enveloped.
But
by
what I will say is they were like, no, that he did not get it in the festival. I still don't believe it.
Okay, yeah, that's clearly
false. 100% false. No. We know how this got in here.
Yeah. I mean, like, there's nothing wrong with you know, that level of.
It's like when people see me at a, like a fashion week event, they go, "Oh, your wife is a photographer."
Exactly.
It's the oh, that's how.
Yeah, you're not friends with like Tommy Hilfiger.
Yeah, yeah. you're not Michael Kors's left shoe guy. You know, my job isn't to go get his left shoes.
Exactly. But this is a cool thing. Obviously, it on the heels of it is a loss to Columbus Crew,
the only team who was winless in the league.
Yeah. So you know, we've gone through all the games. We've been just like last season, we're just as excited, but we went into this season a little bit with some more confidence, given that Patrick Vieira is the new coach.
I thought he fixed everything.
Yeah, and we won our first game.
Oh boy, did we!
So it was.
Can we roll some of those goals over?
Exactly.
Is that possible?
Don't can use we... them up. Yeah.
Let's score some anytime goals. I think is what we need.
So they lost 3-2 to Columbus Crew. Columbus looked they looked good. They made us.
They looked like the finals, Columbus.
Yeah, and I guess they waited till they played NYCFC to get in back in form.
That's exactly right. Just as we show up, so did they.
Yeah, but and I think that happens with a lot of clubs, especially when NYCFC is on the road. There is this. Oh, this is the
right.
These are the new kids that they have all the money. Look at all these big players, and there's a lot. You know, teams
they show up for us. Exactly. You know, it's like it's set up like the Knicks. You know, like Madison Square Garden has that effect. People want to score a lot at Madison Square Garden,
which hurts. The last like couple of years, it's like, all right, well, Curry, does everybody have to score 50 in Madison Square Garden? We're like, we live here. This hurts our feelings.
Please stop doing this. We have to walk past this building.
Yeah, we get that. Like, we got the Statue of Liberty, and there's the Empire State Building, but can you calm down?
There was the one guy in the Bulls. His last name was Gordon, and they called him Madison Square Gordon.
Ben Gordon.
Ben Gordon, because he kept scoring 50-plus points. And we're like, could you pass it?
Yeah. How about this? How about one of our players get 50 in Madison Square Garden? Yeah. If you want to give that a shot, that'd be pretty cool.
That might be fun, don't you think?
Yeah, you see the visiting team doing it. You see how much fun they're having.
You notice how your jersey matches everything else in here? Why don't you give it a shot?
Yeah.
I think the fans might like it better if one of our guys does it.
But man, it was I was frustrated. I was it's the first game I've been like really they looked outmatched.
Yeah, the other matches, there's been moments where we've had clear chances and we could have done it. And while there was one great chance that would have, but we, you know, even if we would have drew, we would have walked away saying, you know what, we weren't the better team here.
Yeah, we didn't deserve that one. At the post game, Patrick Vieira was he clearly said, they asked him like, you know, how did you feel just about how the match went? And he said, we played a better team. They were just clearly better than us. And this is the first.
And he said, you could see why they were finals. They were in the finals. And yeah, you could in that match. None of the other matches they played. No one else.
No.
You couldn't see any evidence. This one, nothing but Exhibit A's through Z's.
Exactly. So frustrating. Yeah. I mean, just a lot of. Look, I think it's the MLS is a little strange because of the international break. Some players just leave.
Yeah.
And I think you sort of saw that. I think it affected the chemistry a little bit. Mix came back. Kyrie came back. But, you know, they only played, what, two games? And then now they're playing for the U.S. for, like, the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So getting back in form is...
Yeah, but these are all excuses. I mean...
They are excuses. They should have done better, but they... I feel like defensively, NYCFC has looked pretty good, and this is the first game they did not.
Right. We have started to solidify, and actually, to go over a point yesterday, Patrick, our good friend, Patty Vieira, said that they no one asked this question. He put this into a different question. We practice, he said, on the same size pitch as Yankee Stadium. So that gave me a ton of confidence to say, like, all right, we had assumed they didn't. And that's why we look so bad at home. But now looking so bad on the road, I'm thinking, why are we practicing on that pitch? Because no other place is built the way Yankee Stadium is built. Obviously, that would be a terrible designer for a soccer pitch.
Uh-huh.
Look, I don't care. I want to put a home plate. All right? I want the fans to be far away from the action.
Different patches of grass, like weird, different weird triangles.
The fans won't even know if it's sand or not. It's weird. That's what I want. So they are practicing on the same pitch as a home. I think... Having the home field that we have, having the home using Yankee Stadium, which is tiny, you know, I think it's creating issues because now we basically have to understand two systems.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't, you know, we don't ever get a chance to sort of build momentum in one style. That said, we had a pretty strong, we have what, three matches at home in a row?
Yeah, yeah.
And we didn't build any friggin' momentum. If anything, we built negative momentum. And see, the only thing we couldn't score. You know?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Tommy answered the question, and he said that he doesn't feel like it makes much of a difference.
Yeah, but he answered every question like a politician, every single one of them. I mean,
it's like most athletes.
Yeah.
They're not going to be like, yeah, Yankee Stadium sucks. Why are we here?
Yeah. You can say it in a nicer way. You can say, like, yeah, it's smaller, and it affects our ability, but we'll get it, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then everyone talks about it. Yeah, maybe.
Alex, what do you want? The truth?
Patrick, like, ever backhands him in front of everyone?
Imagine Patrick just smacks him in the back of the head. Like, hey, dude, I didn't bring you for this.
He just tears the badge off his shirt.
<You're done. laughs>
Tommy's in the academy. How's that possible? He's 26.
So, obviously, it's disappointing.
And you know what's the most disappointing part is that if we would have gone on the road and won, I think it would have cleared some of the tough draws and the one loss we had before that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It would have washed that away a bit because it's like we're building. And it did seem like we were getting better and tighter as a unit. You know,
it seems like we're sort of where we were last season.
It's exactly
with this. We're about to hit that 11-game winless streak. We're at five?
Yeah.
It's you don't want it. I don't want that again. I'm like, we just need that win to like break that curse, you know?
I mean, I think it's more important for this league to have a successful New York club.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
And
the Red Bulls are not doing it.
No.
They don't want to be
that. I mean, they also want it, but they want it to be us. They're just, they're willing to walk away and let those guys do it. Those guys seem to care. There's nothing else in our way besides ourselves right now. And I know we ran into a really good club, Columbus. And it's also, this is part of the MLS, man. Anyone at any point can all of a sudden win, you know. Parity, you know, has its good and its bad. And we saw the bad in the sense, if you're a Columbus fan, good. If you're a New York fan, not so good. You know, this isn't the good of it. So, I mean, we're going to run into these situations. What we absolutely have to do is just play better defensively. And we have to figure out what we're doing in the final third. Man, if it's not David Villa, we're not scoring.
Yeah, he did get that great goal from Iraola. That was a great cross and the bouncing low header. And it's good to see. There's like flashes of like, oh wow, these guys.
Yeah, there are moments of like sheer
burn, especially with Iraola. You know, we were always, especially he came in midseason last season, and we were like, oh, how is he really gonna fit into this? Because he seems a little bit more of an offensively minded right back, but he's like not athletic enough, sort of. He seems a little slow, but
he's up there in age as well. I think he's now 34.
But it was good to see, you know, that that Spanish connection between them.
España to España. and the team is still has like these facets that are really exciting, like Mendoza, Mikey Lopez. I know you're not a big Mendoza guy.
He's impressive. I'm not going to take anything away, but
he's fast.
But it's a chemistry thing. I think it doesn't fit in yet.
He did just get here.
Yeah, literally.
Steven, John, Brian Mendoza.
Brian. David, Patrick. I mean, just look up, just scroll through the Bible, and every each book, that's his name is that.
Just Ed Mendoza.
Ezekiel Mendoza. Right.
John Stephen, letter to the Ephesians, Mendoza. Yeah, hilarious.
316.
Yeah, that's his number.
Oh, 316.
Don't you bring any wrestling stuff in here? This is an actual sports podcast.
So, another game, another exciting moment in the MLS. Jermaine Jones is back, baby.
Boy, is he back. And in the snow, where he belongs, man.
Oh, our Santa Claus.
Does he not look great covered in snow? Man.
Oh, the snow in his dreads. Yeah. I mean, beautiful.
And his fists flying, and his studs are up. His studs have no snow on them.
He's like, oh, but he has jingle bells on his boots. Yeah.
So you can hear him coming. He wants you to know when you're going to break your ankle. I mean, I got to admit, you know, he's not my favorite player, but boy, is he exciting to have out there.
Yeah, I mean,
he's the Trump, you know. Like, we're not 100% sure what's happening, but we're enjoying it.
Yeah, he gets all the media attention, and it's like, good. Yeah, he's attracting, you know, he's putting eyeballs on the league.
Boy, is he. He is good for the league. Him being on the pitch is good. And what a beautiful through ball. I mean,
great goal. So, look, he's his first game back, making a difference. And Colorado, clear, you know, they need it. And they got a great. I mean, he's a great player, and it's good to just see him playing again.
Yeah.
But he was you know involved in both goals. He scored one and a great through ball.
Amazing through ball.
And so it's good to see that it was a. The game was weird. You know, there's not many MLS games that are played in snow.
No,
you
not know, many. Outside, Colorado obviously is a good
sure.
Place
it's
for
likely,
it.
But you know it's. We're in spring, so it's something you don't really expect. And
wasn't Colorado where we beat Costa Rica
yeah. So
his famous snow fro, he had the snow afro.
Yeah, so he was familiar with it.
I mean that's what a welcoming for him actually. To be honest, even the weather complied. Even the weather wants Jermaine Jones.
Oh, Jermaine's back. Yeah. All right, I got this.
Let's give him some of that white hair. We got you, baby.
So Colorado won 2-1, and Red Bulls lose. 1-2 so,
again.
The Red Bulls lose again, and wow, I mean
six losses,
not what you expected. These are the Supporter Shield winners. They have
this is the best club in the regular season last year.
So this is
they decimated us three times last year. And they cannot get
if
it
we
together.
Lose to, if NYCFC loses...
Hey, look, I was just about to put that together, actually, in my head. If we're going to lose to anyone, if we lost to Columbus when they couldn't put it together, all of a sudden, you know, Bradley Wright Phillips is going to find the back of the net like six times against us.
Yeah.
Their goal differential is going to even out.
Just all of a sudden, they find this new energy.
Yeah. They're at negative 10 right now. They're going to score 10 against us. We're not going to be able... They're going to score 11. We're going to score one. David Villa will get a penalty.
Yeah.
And of course...
I mean, a cause for concern. This is looking really bad.
And once again, look, we're obviously not Red Bulls fans, but we don't want to see them struggle. They're a great competitor, mm-hmm. Great for the local area. Their Red Bull 2 is undefeated. Their USL team.
Swap field that team, maybe.
I don't think anyone will notice if you just wear the other jerseys. Get out of here. Let the senior team go down to USL, gain a little confidence. Hopefully they don't lose. Let Red Bull 2, let them see if they can make it in the MLS.
Yeah. This is, very strange. It's definitely something I did not expect. I thought they would go in this season sort of with that hunger. You know, they lost to Columbus. In the playoffs, and especially in such a dramatic fashion, they were so close to tying the game, taking it to penalties, and to come out with
who's the bigger surprise right now, Columbus Crew or Red Bulls or Seattle?
I think Red Bulls by far.
Really, I think Seattle because Obafemi Martins, you lose him right in the last second.
Yeah, I mean, you see. Especially in this, you know, these first few games, you see how much of an impact Martins had and the fear he put in a back line because everyone was so cautious.
He could finish unlike Jordan Morris. I mean, this...
The different skill set.
Come on.
Is that not the same? There's no way he can replace. Honestly,
Jordan... Not at a young age either. I mean, all jokes aside.
Jordan Morris is more of a Dempsey-like player than Obafemi Martins was.
Sure, but he's a finisher.
He is, but he's not. He doesn't have the speed. He doesn't have the speed and the ability
of a 48-year-old man in Obafemi Martins. Yeah, and you know, look, everyone was freaking out that he was coming, and I said it would have been better for him in Germany. You know, he is getting a lot of experience now. You get to see what the pressure is. You get to.
He scored his first goal.
Yeah, he did score his first goal. He missed a very wide.
I mean, he shot it directly to the keeper. He tried to go low, and the keeper stopped it. The Seattle played.
Shot
Seattle
it
played
at the
Philadelphia Union. They won 2-1, and that's Jordan Morris got his first goal. So that's good for him. He needed it, and obviously building some confidence because he started. You know, he started his professional career just getting battered by the Mexican league.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that great of a beginning.
Getting the floor wiped.
So good for him. I think Seattle's.
You think this is going to be the start of the turnaround for them?
I think so. I mean, he's a big part of it. And he
has to be. I mean, there's no option now.
And when he signed with Seattle, the expectation was that Martins was going to be there. He was going to have to fight for playing time.
Right.
And then he got put in like, hey, all right, be the star.
Well, what it tells me is that they knew. They obviously, China was already making overtures.
Mm-hmm.
So they knew that the Obafemi Martins was going to be sold or it was a potential to be sold. And, they obviously played hardball to keep Jordan Morris, which was, in hindsight, very smart if you're the Seattle Sounders. Can Jordan Morris meet that level of expectation? Might be mightily high. Someone who is starting to meet the expectation, I'm a little worried that we might be overhyping, is Pulisic. I know it's not MLS, or Pulisic, as he wants to be called.
Exactly.
Scored his first goal for Dortmund.
That's right.
A beauty. And then he did the official Cooligans celebration. He dabbed on him.
He did. Bringing the dab to Germany.
Yeah. Oh, man. Boateng had done it for Bayern already. But nonetheless, I get what you're saying. He brought it to Dortmund.
Yeah, but an American doing it, bro. Come on.
It's invented here.
It's authentic.
Yeah.
Boateng doing it. I'm like, wait, he's not doing it. Why are you doing it right? Like, what is it?
This piece of schnitzel fell out of his pocket. You're not doing it right.
It's not the same. It's not the same.
You're not wearing a lederhosen. You got to do it. He's from America. He figured it out. And let me tell you something. Two polar opposites, right? You have someone who went to Europe and is finding a way into the first team and, you know, hasn't gotten a lot of shine on the men's national team. It looks like it might start to be happening.
Mm-hmm.
You got Jordan Morris on the other end. What I'm hoping for is that they both start to find success. And, Pulisic looks like he's starting to do that now. You know,
he looked great. He played in his first match for the U.S. team. He got his first cap.
Yeah.
So now we officially got him. He can't play.
He's ours.
What is he? He was going to
Croatia.
That was like the threat that he might.
Nah, son.
not Croatia.
Nah.
He's ours.
Yeah.
I don't know what language you speak, but I would tell you
probably Croatian.
Is that the language in Croatia?
I will tell you this, Croatia. You were wrong, Ivic. You can have him, Ivic.
Both very promising young players for the U.S. Also, another controversial game in the MLS. Orlando and New England.
Boy.
2-2 draw. But so much. Look, we talk about MLS refereeing very often.
I do a lot.
It seems to be. There's issues where with consistency.
You are so nice.
We have a little. You know, it's getting. Last season, I was much more on your on the side of like, look, the game is so fast. Like you got to give them some credit. It's really difficult to be a referee.
Mm-hmm.
And
which was Tommy Mack's answer, by the way.
Exactly right. So we've heard that. We've heard that before. But the. This call, I forgot, I didn't get the referee's name, but I've seen
it. It was in the spirit of Mark Geiger.
Everyone just lives in the shadow of Mark Geiger, trying to outdo him every week.
This guy Geigered. He Geigered out there.
So there was Lee Wynn. So this is in stoppage time.
Right. Lee Wynn is just outside the box.
Just outside the box.
The defender, I can't remember who.
His name is Servando Carrasco.
Okay. Thank you. He's inside the box.
He's inside the box.
Hand.
There was a handball call.
Yeah.
So this is.
By the way, hold on. They were about a foot and a half apart.
Right? The two players, yes.
Yeah, at max.
Uh-huh.
At maybe a foot apart.
Mm-hmm.
Really close. Lee Wynn kicks the ball, looking to cross it.
Yeah.
And it comes off of an in-swinging shoulder.
Shoulder, clearly.
But the hand moving beyond back.
Yes.
Like it's going back to where it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So the hand is not going in the way of the ball. What basically he did is he tried to catch the ball on the badge of his soccer shirt.
Yes.
Okay. And he successfully does that.
He very much successfully does that. It ricochets off his shoulder. Clearly, his arm.
Well, his arm is behind his back.
His arm does flail.
But it flails like back.
Yeah, at full speed, you can't really. You can't confirm that it hit his arm.
No.
You cannot confirm that it hit his arm.
It maybe kind of looked like the ball hit his arm, and that's why his arm was going back.
Exactly.
But it's too odd of an angle, and the ball doesn't travel the way the arm would have hit it.
Exactly, because if it would have hit an arm, the ball would have taken a stop. It would have
shot down.
It would have reduced speed at the very least.
Right.
But this was a ricochet that clearly looked like it still kept the ball going. It was a deflection. Really, that's all it was.
Yeah, and he hit it the same way like a header. Like you would deflect with a header. Like he hit it out and up.
Exactly.
Not down.
So the immediately ref blows the whistle, calling for a handball outside the box was clearly inside the
right.
box.
So he's outside the box.
So there's already so many mistakes happening, right? So he calls a handball.
We're Geigering at we're at like 10 out of 10 Geigers.
So the ref is not even really sure.
Yeah.
He's not sure.
We gotta make that.
What? I didn't hear what he said. What did he say?
The Geiger counter.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Yeah, we gotta make that.
Ding! Geiger counter. Ding! After every Geiger mistake.
Yeah. Or a Geiger scale.
You know, also, and I didn't realize this, because also Jermaine Jones had come back. Jermaine Jones was suspended those 6 games in a match that Geiger was refereeing. Geiger was the one that Jermaine Jones was screaming at and pushed and touched and stuff at the end of last season.
All right, well, I forgive Jermaine Jones. So I don't think you should ever punch.
Now we understand.
Yeah, now I get your frustration. All right, we've all Geigered now.
Yeah,
and no one should look on our good friend Jermaine Jones.
He's a good man.
He's a good man
doing the Lord's work.
Yeah, and I think he's been vindicated. Right? Is that the word?
Yeah, that is the word.
All right, very nice. So, all right. Calls it outside the box. Then all of a sudden.
Then line judge. You see the line judge, and you see where he's standing. And, you know, because he's obviously has to stand with the
offside. Yeah, the final offside defender.
And he is he's in line with the box. So, so then you hear him go into his headset and hear what the line judge is saying. And he's like, oh, it's in the box. So there were 2 mistakes. It was not a handball. And originally he called it outside the box when it was inside the box.
Let's just start with nothing should have been called.
Literally nothing should have been called.
Nothing should have been called.
Orlando should have won that game. There should have been no penalty.
In fact, I will say this. The defender went out of his way to not draw a handball.
Yeah.
Or handling. And that's what he got.
So this.
And then it shouldn't have been outside the box. And then it gets called a penalty.
Yeah. So this.
And of course, Lee Wynn knocks it in.
This error clearly affecting the result of the game. There's something about, you know how they say in the NBA where in the last few minutes in the fourth quarter, the refs, they tend to let some calls go because they don't want to affect the...
They don't want to affect the match.
They want to affect the result of the game, right?
And they're letting them play, if you will.
But this kind of inconsistency where you also are not even sure if it's in or outside of the box,
right?
Don't call anything.
No.
That's insane. You're not even sure. It wasn't clear. It has to be definitive in the last few minutes of the game. You have
to
know.
If someone has a chance to kick a ball into the goal from the spot, you have to be sure. Or, you know what? Go and run with your other 2 line judges. Get together and talk about it.
And it looked bad because obviously whenever there's a controversial call, the players swarm around you. And this is another thing in soccer that just seems so, where the referees get literally no respect, no privacy. They have to deal with, look, there's literally a timer going and they have to deal with like 12 players screaming at them to call it either way. And they can't even do like, they're by themselves. And the NFL, there's 4 referees and they all come towards you. Hey, step away, clear it up, and so we can talk about it. It's just all by himself, confused.
It should only be the captains of each team. Those are the only ones that should be talking
to the official.
That's
right, and that's how it is in hockey also. Yeah,
it should only be the captain talking to the official. And what shocks me, which Patrick Vieira, again, our friend Patty, brought up, is that before each match, there's a breakfast the day of for an hour and a half when the officials tell the players how the game is going to be called, what they consider to be a foul. Things like that. Like, expect that if you do this, you will get called. Or we're going to let you guys play a little bit today. You know, that kind of thing. That's sort of guiding you to tell you what's happening. Are the refs paying attention? Do they get hit in the head after these breakfasts? Because it never seems like the players are on the same page as the ref. And I get that, you know, you may gain a bit of an advantage, right? Going, come on, man, you missed that one. You missed that one.
Yeah.
So the next one you get. I remember that from when I played. You go, dude, you missed that one, man. You missed that one. And then all of a sudden you get a call coming up. But something like this is clearly affecting. The refs are becoming the match.
Yeah.
That's not the way. Kaká was out of his mind.
Furious. Yeah.
That's, furious.
I mean, this... just been some bad calls, and you start seeing some of the European players that we have that are like, whoa, yeah.
We
this
thought
is,
we had it bad. We,
yeah, this is unbelievable. Yeah. And it's really the uncertainty that I don't like. I don't like seeing for any referee in any sport.
Inconsistency. Just,
like when the NFL had the replacement refs, yeah. You know, there was some bad calls. Green Bay and that Seattle game with that reverse touchdown or whatever. In the final minutes where they just got the call wrong, where one ref gave it a touchdown, one was like interception. Yeah. So it's stuff like that where like that's just not a thing you want to see. You just don't want to see them unsure of their own calls.
Right. That's who we have every match.
Yeah, if you're going to call a penalty, be like, this is a penalty, shut up.
Yeah.
And not, well, where is it? Where was the ball? Outside, inside? Well,
yeah, you can't be like, this guy's making good points, though.
Well, what do you...
I don't know, man. This player's saying some things
over
here.
Hey, Kaká, what do you think? What was this? What happened here?
The guy, you mad? What, you think I should? All right, then it's not. Then it's not a penalty.
Yeah, so that's not good to see. But, I mean, look, I know it's a hard job, but, man.
I get that it's a hard job. But we've talked about this before. Look, I've been talking about this a lot. I feel like I've now brought you into my camp. Welcome. It's only going to get worse from here. This is a very big deal because if the game isn't called correctly, we're not building the right skills as a league.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the game is too physical. We've said this before. It's inconsistent. You never know what to do. These European players are very confused because this isn't the way the game is called.
Because they soft.
Yeah, soft, son. Yeah. Too busy being coddled. Yeah, nobody knows who you are. Walk in public, dog. What I'm saying is, like, if you don't call it the same way every time,
yeah.
What are we doing? And by the way, it used to be worse. This now we have the pro refs. These guys are, you know, sitting in rooms and they meet and they review. I don't know what else is happening afterwards. They're all getting hit with the Men in Black machine and they're all forgetting what happened before. But I mean, they're trying, and I get that they're trying, but this has to be figured out right away. Once again, we need DP refs. Can we get some DP refs?
Yeah, that would be incredible.
Come on.
From Premier League refs.
I'll take Martin Dean from the Premier League. I'll take him.
Yeah, you know, since I've been watching so many games, you start seeing some of the same refs. You start seeing their patterns, you know. Right. So there really is a gamesmanship of like knowing how this ref calls a game.
Baseball, I think, is a bit more of that, where you're like, all right, this guy calls the strike zone tight.
Yeah.
This guy this guy that. It's soccer, it's a little different, but now that you've watched enough Premier League, you know when you're like, oh, okay, we got Martin Dean.
Yeah, there's a certain comfort of this is going to be.
Or maybe the opposite, because you know, like, oh, this guy never calls stuff for us, you know. Yeah, Mike Dean's not a big Arsenal fans don't love him. We'll say that. But you start to understand how the game is going to be called. We as fans get it. So you know the players understand it at a much deeper level because they watch the tape and they do everything else. If we as fans know, okay, here comes this ref. All right, we know how he's going to call the match. Could you imagine how difficult it is? We're fans. We're watching. We know it. If we don't know what the hell they're doing at MLS, the pro refs, could you imagine the players?
Yeah.
They're like, we went over this. What are you doing? Remember you picked up a croissant. You said, by the way, don't slide tackle this way. He just did. You didn't give him a card.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you still eating that croissant? What are you doing?
Are you not? You know how much butter is in that?
Yeah, I know. It's not good for you. Bacon, egg, and cheese on a croissant? I mean, I get it. You got to stop, guy.
You know, you got to run with us. This is a lot.
Damn, son. You can't run with no IV. It's a hell of a conversation there.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So let's end this segment. We're gonna go to our third segment. We have Kirby's back.
Yeah, Kirby's Corner once again.
So we'll be right back with our next segment, Kirby's Corner.
Listen to this. Now let's find out what you have to do to get this awesome, comfortable USA scarf.
All right, so for the Cooligans giveaway, you want if you want to win a USA scarf to take to your Copa America Centenario game with you, all you got to do is create a video letting us know what your favorite USA soccer moment is and just send it to us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram.
That's it. It could be anything. It could be your favorite moment watching. It could be a story about how your dad took you to the first match. It could be about anything at all. Maybe you went to the World Cup of the 90s. Anything at all. Your favorite moment, the most important moment for you in national team history. Men's, women's, it doesn't matter. Youth, it doesn't matter at all. Share a video with us. Make sure you tag at Soccer Cooligans. Tag Roughneck Scarves, spelled RUFFNECKSCARVES.
Roughneck
Scarves. Tag both of those. Yeah. And then make sure you use the hashtag CooligansUSA. If you only do one thing, use the hashtag Cooligans.
Do all three things.
Yeah, yeah.
But the definitely
most important, because if you don't hashtag CooligansUSA, we will not see it.
Yeah, we won't be able to find it. So
Kirby's going to be pulling these all up. He will be using hashtag CooligansUSA, and that's on Twitter, on Instagram, and on Facebook.
We'd love to interact with our fans a little bit more and see some, you know, some cool videos that they can make.
And
for
make
us.
It creative. You know, you could show, do a replay. You could do stop motion. You could just talk directly into the camera.
Yeah, hire Pixar if you feel like creating your own, like USM, you know, USMNT recreation.
What type of processors you guys got? Huh? You got how many cores you got?
Yeah, or do like a forensic file reenactment and get higher actors.
Or give us your own color commentary, your own call for any specific goal or anything that happened. Any video, favorite national team moment for the USA, we want to hear it. And if we love it, well, our favorite, we're going to pick. And that's who's going to get a absolutely free U.S. National Team scarf from Roughneck Scarves. Again, that's roughneckscarves.com. Yeah, we're back here, and guess what it is? He's back, Kirby's Corner!
Kirby is back! We did it!
I didn't do the thing. Kirby's Corner!
All right, there we go. Well, and apparently he's rusty.
It felt weird. It felt weird without it.
You jumped in, Christian. That's what happened. You jumped in. You didn't give me an opportunity.
For ruining the rhythm.
Look, he's back, and he's already blaming it on Christian.
Yeah,
it does.
Yeah.
I would like to say that it's a nice change from having things blamed on me, so...
Yeah, 3 seconds in, something's already my fault.
Yeah, sounds about right.
It wasn't three, it was like 10.
I missed the guy who said we were pesaditos con tamales. I missed that guy. Remember?
Oh, wait, I don't know. Who was that guy?
There was some random Spanish dude who said we were filled with tamales. Kirby
yeah, yeah.
But right now we're filled with the American spirit because we're wearing our awesome...
Oh, USA, I love you.
Roughneck scarves.
USA.
Yeah, for the new national team badge, which is pretty dope.
Yeah, like
thank you, Roughneck Scarves.
Thank you, Roughneck.
Yeah, yeah.
On the day of the New York primary also.
Absolutely, USA. So what's been in the news, Kirby?
Well, we're not going to talk about political news. We're going to talk about Barcelona. We're going to talk about their magnificent fall from grace. Atletico last week in Champions League. I didn't get to talk to you guys about it.
Yeah, it was great. Great match.
It was amazing. And then they lost in La Liga this weekend.
Yeah.
What the hell is going on with Barcelona?
Who did they lose to? Was it Celta Vigo or something? Who was it?
It was Celta Vigo.
It might have been Celta Vigo.
I mean, they've lost 3 games in a row. I think the last one was Real Betis, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, none of these are world beaters. Yeah. You know, if you lost to Real, if you lost to Madrid, I get it. You know, Atleti, if you will.
Yeah.
I get it. But to lose to, who was it?
They lost to Valencia.
Valencia, that's who it was. Valencia's a pretty good team, but still, I mean, again, not at their level.
Well, they were projected to, like, the odds for the, they were like 99% projected to win La Liga. They was
When your front three cost, 17 Leicester cities.
No, that was just Suarez.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, they cost more than like a couple African countries.
Yeah.
So
you could build a stadium for what the front three cost.
Yeah, yeah.
A couple Burkina Fasos and
So
a little Côte d'Ivoire tossed in.
It is it's incredible. This is insane because Barcelona had this luck. No one expected it to ever be this close.
So you're excited about this?
I'm excited. I'm a little puzzled.
Yeah,
you know,
it is. It is weird.
You don't expect them to have such a breakdown. We're talking about the front three. How could they lose? I mean, they're not even a team that gives up any kind of possession. Their last match, the other team had more possession than them. That's insane. Did you see them play Arsenal?
Yeah. Go,
let's not talk about
what
that.
Is
but
it
that
with
is
you?
Why I'm happy. That
what
they
is it with you? It really is.
They
his
dominate.
Fault.
It's his fault.
So they're incredibly dominant. So this was just very. This is a very strange thing to see.
You know, Suarez is like, who do I got to bite? Who do I got
to
bite?
He's willing to do it.
He got into another biting scandal. Or someone bit something. It was Costa.
It wasn't him. Costa.
With Gareth Barry?
All those assholes are the same.
The nibble, the neck nibble?
You really are from North Carolina.
The biters. That's what I'm talking about.
Right.
In Walking Dead.
Are we all blaming Luis Enrique for this? I mean.
Why do you say Luis Enrique?
That's weird.
It's Enrique.
Is it?
Yes.
Yeah. I've been calling him Enrique this whole time.
Yeah.
Instead of Enrique. All right. Luis Enrique. Are we blaming him?
Now it just sounds weird that you're saying it correctly.
Yeah. I guess you can blame him. Usually, not that Barcelona is like giving up a ton of goals, because they're not really a defensive. They don't really have that many defensive liabilities.
They're
losing 2-1 and things like that.
They're not 100% tiki taka like they used to be. They do get the chance to play a bit more, you know, a bit more direct. But this seems like they've gone the other way. They're losing the possession battle, which is super rare for them.
Very much so.
Again, we did watch them play Arsenal. Don't ever mention that again. But yeah, I mean, you know, we're a team that a lot of people would call like a Barca light, as in our style, not our value and how great of a club we are. But, you know, and we couldn't hang with them possession-wise. What was it, Valencia? What are they doing? How is that possible?
Sociedad,
Real Sociedad. Also?
That's right. Yes, the old Moyes.
So at the moment, Atleti and Barcelona are tied on point. Real Madrid is down one, so it's 75.
Yeah, one point below.
So wait a minute.
Was Valencia the team that just fired
Gary Neville?
They beat Barcelona. Damn, Gary.
So if you want to beat Barcelona in La Liga, you have to A, hire a British manager, and then B, fire them.
Or a Neville. So hire Aaron Neville. That joke will work one day. I just want to be your team. Anyway.
And I didn't realize this about La Liga. They are different in that it's not about goal differential. It's about head-to-head.
Head-to-head is their first.
Which is interesting. I didn't know that the different leagues can just be different as far as how they define their rules.
Like the Mexican League, in order to be relegated, you have to be paid $1 billion by the narco trafficker.
So this can affect the results very much, because also, you know, the head-to-head, Barcelona and Real they both won Clásico. So this is a big deal. I mean, They were 3 weeks ago definitely winning the league. There was no chance in hell.
Yeah, Zidane was making excuses. Yeah.
That Barcelona could give up that title.
And here we are. Wow.
And how insane would it be if Zidane won La Liga in his first year? In his first half a year, really.
That would be wild. Yeah. But Rafa Benitez would still take credit for the whole thing anyway. So
as he gets Newcastle relegated. And speaking of relegation.
I just want to make one point. What's happening to Barcelona right now is what everyone expected to happen to Leicester City.
Yeah.
It's surreal. Which might be opposite.
Comparing Barcelona to Leicester City, are you hearing the words you're saying?
The expectations I'm comparing. Because everyone expected, Leicester, they were in first. They can't do it. It's too small a club. It's never going to happen. Barcelona, they're a giant club. No one could beat them on the planet. And look at where we are.
You know what? They beat themselves. And Leicester just might, since Vardy's going to be, you know, suspended.
Yeah. He's going to be gone for a while.
Yeah. Someone just asked us to talk hockey. No. Anyway, back to hockey.
Playoffs, they're kind of exciting, but no.
The Rangers are a thing. So speaking of relegation, Aston Villa, we're sorry to see you go. One of the originals in the Premier League has now bitten the dust.
They won the European Championship at one point. And here we are.
Oh, my God.
The 1 year you don't want to be relegated. Next year they would have made more than whoever wins the Champions League this year is going to make if they were relegated. If they would have just survived this year and relegated next year, I mean, if you're a fan of Aston Villa, what do you have? What are you doing? You know, are you staying? You know, if this was Everton, would you remain? Would you watch the Championship next year?
I guess I'd be forced to, right?
You wouldn't be forced to.
You would judge me very harshly.
We're a free country. Do you not see the scarves?
I judge you for picking Everton. So don't worry about what I'm going to do once you switch and come to the side you should have.
I mean, it is very disappointing. Again, since I've been watching games, and this is the most I've ever seen Aston Villa games this year. They've just always looked terrible to me. They're just bad.
I agree with Dimitri. He says you got to stick with your team. You have to.
So, but
Aston Villa might get relegated next year. They might be in League One. That's how bad they are. Yeah. They are that bad.
I just feel bad.
You won't even get it on beIN Sports.
I feel bad for Brad Guzan. You know, he's had to put up with Brad Guzan.
Yeah.
Just see so many.
He did get benched too.
Terrible. Yeah. But his, I mean, look, he's definitely made his mistakes, but their defense is just so poor.
Oh my God! No, the whole thing is hard to watch.
It's all bad. So it's a bummer to see, you know, an American. Hopefully, Yedlin doesn't also get relegated.
Oh man,
DeAndre.
At least he'll go back to Tottenham, who's currently above us at the table.
I mean, he won't get playing time there.
No. But, you know, this
don't you notice how Tottenham got great after they loaned Yedlin?
Can we get Yedlin back in there as an Arsenal fan? Get Yedlin back in there. Yeah. You know what? You start up top, Yedlin. You pick your own
Kane
position.
Kane who? DeAndre. Yeah.
Yedlin, what are you, 4'11"? All right, you're the goalkeeper. That's great. The keeper. Come on, get in here.
This isn't all bad, though. There is a group of people who is extremely happy that Aston Villa has been relegated, and who that's Birmingham City fans.
There you go.
A guy named Sean on Twitter at Vino1983 was on a train to Edinburgh while he found out that Aston Villa was relegated. So he threw an Aston Villa relegation party on the train.
Hilarious.
He had a banner. He made a banner very quickly. He had party hats, I assume booze because they were going to Scotland.
Right.
And they had an Aston Villa relegation party.
So at least somebody's excited.
Now that people are having like divorce parties, you know, they get divorced and all of a sudden now they celebrate the ending of
someone's just doing donuts in a Porsche. Got divorced. This is Birmingham City fans just like, the welcome to our level, baby.
That must be a tough thing to experience, your team getting relegated. I don't know what that feels like, you know.
And neither do we.
Yeah, son.
Don't be proud of that.
Also, you're an Everton fan. You may.
Yeah, well, one day.
You may.
But this is, I mean, you know, especially for such a big club. I think, I don't know who mentioned this maybe last week. I don't know if one of you mentioned that the three clubs that made it into the Premiership are staying and it's,
yeah, I think so, yeah,
it's the first time that's happened. Is that,
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's the first time in the history, but it might be the first time in a while.
Yeah.
With Premier League since 92, I can't recall.
It's Aston Villa, definitely relegated. Then it's going to be either be
mostly probably Newcastle.
Newcastle, Sunderland, and
Norwich is the other
Norwich.
One.
Norwich. So these are
they were promoted this season. So I'm hoping Norwich stays up.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm hoping Sunderland, because Yedlin has been, he's been pretty good.
He has been good. And we need him to get playing time, which he might get more of actually in the Championship.
Sure.
Yeah.
To be honest. So maybe we do want him to
get relegated. he's on loan. So he may not, he should be going back to Tottenham. I don't know if he's staying.
Tottenham's just going to reloan him.
Yeah.
Probably. Or even to another
maybe
team.
Maybe he'll be playing for Everton. You know, you want to loan him to a mid-table team.
But here's the thing. That would actually be okay with me, because then the Championship would be getting more quality games that would get more coverage. They're going to be getting the Birmingham Derby back.
Right.
They're going to be getting, oh, food's here.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
They're going to be getting.
You guys cover.
I got this.
They're going to be, and then if Newcastle and Sunderland are relegated, they're going to be getting the Tyne Wear Derby in the Championship, which is one of the most heated, passionate derbies in England.
I mean, Great Escape 6 years in a row now. Who are we talking about? Norwich? Dimitri just sent that.
Dimitri?
I think it's going to be fun, and I think the Championship is going to start to get more of that. They're just going to start to get that money anyway coming in from this big contract. I think it's going to start to get more of a spotlight here. And I think Americans in being in either of those leagues is probably going to be good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's going to be good for us because at the end of the day, you need playing time. And I think we would all agree that the Championship is a mostly, I would say 90% or maybe less, 75% of the Championship is at a higher level than MLS, right?
I would agree. There are definitely the teams towards the bottom, like the Wigans, who are going to be relegated, that I would, if I had a player that I had a vested interest in, I would say, you know, don't go to Europe on this one. Stay even at
You're not going to sign new
players. Floundering Columbus, right?
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. You wouldn't sign new players, but the players you have would have a great opportunity.
Definitely.
All right. What's the next topic? Now that
Christian's back with the food.
Yeah.
So we have a weird story out of MLS, out of Montreal,
Montreal,
l'Impact de Montréal. Yeah. Apparently,
Royal
this
Mountain,
is,
if you will.
Okay. Michael Salazar has been the target of an extortion attempt
we've all been there.
Yeah, we have. Welcome back.
like you never left.
If only you would have been gone longer. He's been threatened with a video of a sexual nature recorded unbeknownst to him. They're calling this, and I chose this purely because I love this phrase, sextortion.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And apparently it's been happening a lot in Quebec and in the city of Montreal specifically.
Okay. So clearly D'Angelo Russell is at it again.
Yeah. I mean, this dude. I mean.
Just unbelievable. How do you,
did you not listen to the Yo Gotti song? Don't put this out in the air. It's got to stay in the DMs. That's where it goes down.
So this is, I mean, you would sort of see this, it's kind of expected in with athletes just to extortion. They have money.
Yeah.
But for MLS players.
I know. What are you trying to get?
What exactly are you getting? Yeah.
What are you? You better give me that Camry. You better give me that used Camry, son.
Yeah.
You got a lease on that house? Yeah. Like, give me the lease. Yeah.
What you got, like four roommates? Make it five. I want in. I want to live in the living room.
Yeah.
I'm going to show everybody this video.
Video of you and your girlfriend having consensual sex.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
It's just very minor, like, rewards. Yeah. So yeah. It is odd.
It's either drug bar or nothing on that in that club. Yeah. You're not getting much.
But find a bigger fish, you know?
Yeah.
I also find it very, I find it insane that this is actually taking place in Canada, because I assume that if you're in Canada, you get permission to record everything, right? Yeah, they're just so nice. Canadians,
yeah. The judge actually apologized in this situation.
I'm sorry, Salazar. Sorry, it's happened to you.
So sorry.
Get you some poutine. And
this is not a boot. Your sex. I couldn't do anything with it.
No, it's not a soccer boot about...
very nice.
Okay. We got
shouldn't their shorts be wide on the sides like Mounties? Can we just do that?
For all the Canadian teams,
their shorts should just be wider flare on the side. Yeah.
I'm down. Don Garber, make it happen.
Yeah. Look at that. Dimitri's on Piatti. Yeah,
damn, Piatti.
Because see that ass from the front. Yeah,
we're about to make it rain over here. Yeah,
Dimitri says they are not that polite. Well, I'm sorry.
And then he wrote sorry.
For those of you who don't know, Periscope, blah, blah, blah. So this is a crossing into the entertainment industry. You guys know, because I tell you all the time, AFC Wimbledon. I love AFC Wimbledon.
Mm-hmm. You're a big fan.
Love AFC Wimbledon. Their story is amazing. And it's going to be made, like Leicester's eventually will be, into a movie.
Really?
Yeah. John Green, the writer of The Fault in Our Stars and Paper Towns, those young adult books that have done so very well.
So it's going to be a sad movie.
You know
the reference?
Yeah, yeah. Fault in Our Stars. Yeah.
I've never heard of
it. It was big two summers ago.
Yeah, big author.
Mm, all right. I remember.
No, you don't.
No, I don't.
He's actually going to be producing this movie. He's a supporter of AFC Wimbledon, a big financial supporter. I can tell you more about
how AFC Wimbledon the one that had the reality show about it? They had the player coach, and then the old Tottenham coach came in and helped them out.
No, that was Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Yeah, sorry.
Confused. Everybody makes that mistake.
Right. So Caitlin's not a goalkeeper? I could have sworn she was.
Keeper Kim. But yeah, he's going to be producing this movie. It's going to follow their journey from the dissolution of the old Wimbledon FC all the way through their, spoiler alert, promotion to League Two, where they remain to this day. Would you guys go see this movie?
Yeah, I would go. I mean, but also, like, I'm a soccer guy.
Sounds like a bit sappy if it's a John Green, adaptation or production.
Well, he's not going to be writing it. There's that.
Okay, well, I don't know. So, but you know, it's gonna be towards his vision. You know.
Yes.
And you know, I'm not. Just like I wouldn't go see Twilight, I may not go see a movie that I don't know. It's like bridging these two worlds of like sort of sappy. Sappy soccer stuff, and I don't know. It just seems odd, but I don't know. When I see the trailer, you got a hot trailer, you can hook me, you know?
Yeah, just leave it to like John Green. When the trailer comes out, it'll be like, in a world where a team is robbed from your community, your only choice.
MK Dons is like fire behind
them. The villain, yeah.
The worst.
Which is like a weird burning fire. That was
just a quick update. I mentioned this on the Periscope, not on the podcast. So my girlfriend, she has sent me an image of two children that she babysits.
No, you did mention this on the podcast.
No, I don't think I did. I mentioned it before we started recording. Anyway, I'm almost sure.
We're cutting this whole piece out.
No. So
no.
Stay in.
Two kids, huge soccer fans. I believe one of them is like a Chelsea fan, and the other might be like an Arsenal fan, I think.
So the last time you said this, it was an Argentina and a Barcelona.
So she sent me a picture, and one of them is wearing an Argentina jersey, and one is wearing a Barcelona jersey. So I was confirming, because the kid he's literally pushed to the ground. And I asked her, well,
love this photo.
What teams are they, like, what are they fighting about? She's like, I don't know. They both have Messi shirts on, but they're fighting. So I just wanted to give you guys an update.
Messi, because he was pushed into the ground.
So one is clearly...
And by the way, I was thinking of Wembley FC. So not Wimbledon, AFC Wimbledon. They had Wembley FC had a reality TV show about it. Damn, I thought it was the same one. Then I'm like, hey, I kind of care. I don't. Okay. I really don't.
Okay.
Sorry that I interrupted your nerd talk for this.
Anything else, Kirby?
No.
Oh, there's nothing else? Okay.
I mean, nah.
That's fine. Yeah,
this has gone off the rails.
No, it has not.
No, this is we're on the rails, baby.
We're on the rails. We're going.
We're all touching the third rail here. It's pretty good if you consider the fact that we're
you plugged into the third rail and you died.
I don't know what song that is.
Stephen Wright. Yeah, it was a
comedian. Very nice. Yeah.
Okay.
Any other pieces of news?
No, I think that's it.
No,
that was it, dude. Well, I mean, it was exciting.
Yeah, it was fun. That was great.
It was fun. Energy. Come on.
Yeah, I like it.
In an unhappy place. We're good.
Yeah, no, I think this has been a fun episode. Hopefully, you guys have had fun. I've had a blast talking to both of you guys. And Kirby, welcome back. And I hope everyone listened to the breaks and you join the little contest here.
Yeah. So if you want to win the scarves that we have, listen to the podcast. This will be out. If you're watching on Periscope, this will be out on probably either tomorrow or Thursday, most likely. That's usually when we put them out.
Usually on Thursday. If you're listening to this, that's the day it's out.
Thursday. Yeah. Listen to the podcast, and you can find out how to win these scarves, these U.S. scarves. We're doing a giveaway for the Copa America Centenario. So
yeah, with the brand new badge.
With the brand new badge. So if you go into the games, you can have this cool scarf. So it's just listen to the podcast.
Yeah, and everyone on the Periscope, listen in. Dimitri, thank you so much for stopping by. Everyone else, great questions. Thank you for listening. If you don't know what you've been listening to, we're about to tell you. You've been listening to the
Cooligans!